is made strong. It is not by therapy that my soul is made strong. It is utterly, it is made well because of the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need God's grace every day. Without His grace, we cannot function. His presence is utterly needed within our lives. And my prayer is that today, as we listen to His Word, as we digest His Word, as the Holy Spirit enables us to digest it, my prayer is that, you know, we are going to leave this place continue with the life that you are leading, you know, knowing that Christ is on your side. So today we are going to continue from the book of Acts. But before we do that, let me tell you, I want to thank each and every one of you who have supported generously this mission project that we have regarding Lebanon. We call it Hope for Lebanon. It's very important to love people. It's very important to pray for people. But it's one of the most important things I also believe is to show hope. You know, there's nothing worse in life than to live hopelessly, without hope. So Christ offers hope, and Christ offers hope through His church, and we are the Church of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you for everyone who have supported the church, whether you send a check or whether you've gone to our website and supported that project, Hope for Lebanon. I want to thank you. And all the proceeds will go to help the very needy in Lebanon, especially those who have lost their jobs, those who have lost their jobs because they are injured or lost homes. That money will be put in good use in the name of Jesus. So whatever we do here, we do it in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. As we continue throughout these summer months, let me tell you that our church is open. People are coming, and I highly encourage you to come. I know a lot of people might be afraid of the COVID-19, and I understand that. I don't want to force you, but we take all measurements within this building to have, you know, we have to have masks and or sit, you know, 6, 7, or 10 feet apart. And Scripture clearly tells us to not be in the habit of not meeting together. It's very easy to that this becomes the new norm, which has over the past 4 months that we've broadcasting, and it, you know, like very much, you know, somebody was reminding me today or yesterday that, you know, it's very much like the kids not going to school and learning at home, you know, through online learning. It's never the same. It's never the same. You lose it. There's something special when the community gathers together safely, obviously. And I would highly encourage you, as September comes, that you make it a goal in your life or for the fall months that you physically attend church. If not every Sunday, at least you could send me your name or your family's name so that you are being part of this fellowship, not just through Zoom. We are going to continue having Zoom, Facebook, YouTube, and all that, but it is absolutely essential for the man and the woman and the child of God to be present within the community of God. And I understand that we've closed the church, the building, that is. We never closed church, but we've closed the building for a number of months. But our hope is that as September approaches, we wanna take more people in. And you will hear more about this in the coming months. Now, regarding next week and the week after, we will be closing the building, but the church will continue on because I'm going on vacation. I'm going on vacation, but my sermons are going to be pre-recorded. So you're going to get a link this week, and you're going to have a whole service, including worship and sermon for next Sunday. And I would highly encourage you that you click on that link at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock next week and follow the service. And it's very important, you know, that we continue strengthening and feeding our souls with the Word of God. Because I strongly believe that God's Word is capable of changing the way we think, changing the way we live, changing the way we see and changing the way we hear things. So we want to continue feeding our souls with the Word of God. Now today we're going to continue with this exciting, I always call it the book of Acts is an exciting book. It is a book full of action, the action of the Holy Spirit, the action of the church, the action of Christ, the action of God, the action of the apostles. So it is an action book. It's always something is happening. God is not only building his church, but also forming the soul of his church, how he wants it to be. He is forming the theology of the church. And one of the things I was thinking about that, you know, there's a lot of sincere people out there. There are a lot of people there who live right. There's a lot of people out there who basically help the poor, help the needy. There are a lot of people out there who are good people, so-called good people. But, you know, the sad news is our sincerity, our goodness, our helping the poor will not save our souls, because that is the job of Christ. So a lot of people live in this lie. A lot of Christians who have attended churches for many years, they've believed in this life that if you are sincere enough, that you're going to be okay with God. Let me tell you, and scripture attests to this, that the only way that our souls, that we can be right with God, it is through the work of Christ on the cross. And we're going to continue reading the story of Peter. And you have to understand that there are so many things in life that shapes us. We should never underestimate the power of culture within our lives that shapes the way we think. I mean, for goodness sake, just the way we've grown up, you know, in our homes, the people that we've been surrounded with, these people impact our lives in an amazing way, for better or for worse. You know, so if these things shape our souls, imagine, you know, what culture does. You know, there are certain cultures that are very strict, and some cultures, you know, they've created their own religion, you know, and through certain traditions. And God forbid if anybody says, you know, that this culture that I'm within, that I'm finding faults with it, you're going to be shunned. It is so programmed within our lives, such things. Culture is so programmed within our lives that it's we find it very hard to leave it behind. We almost feel guilty. And here we see in the life of Peter, who grew up as a Jewish man all his life. He kept the Jewish diet. He kept his distance from people who are not Jews because they were considered unclean. God is doing something absolutely new here in Peter's life, in the life of Peter. Now, God always prepares us. He changes us. And then he sends us out to minister in his name. You know, maybe today there will be some changes that God is asking you to do in your own life. Certain prejudices that you have to get over, or certain things, certain stands that you have to take that goes very much against your culture or against your religion, against your upbringing. But don't you want to grow in life? Don't you want to enjoy the freedom that is found in Christ? You could only enjoy this freedom if you listen to God's word and apply God's word in your life. I know it is hard. It was hard for Peter. And one of the things that fascinates me about Peter went back and forth. You know, he clearly believed that that God opened a door for him to mix with the Gentiles who were not Jews, that God is inviting the Gentiles to salvation. Yet Peter found it very hard. You know, initially he was absolutely fine because he understood what God was doing. But immediately when he found himself surrounded by his people, immediately he reverted back to his old life. And this is what happens sometimes, you know, when we are surrounded by people from the same culture, even if we've removed ourselves and we've changed over the years, becoming more Christ-like, sometimes, you know, the old life drives us back to its old patterns. So we need to be very careful. Do not fear man. Do not fear culture. Do not fear religion. The only person you need to fear is God. And because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're going to spend eternity with. We're going to spend it with God, not just this world. We are pilgrims. You know, I highly encourage you to read a book that was written almost 500 years ago by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. Read it. I mean, this man wrote this book from jail, and but all the things that he wrote about, it applies to 2020 America, because the book deals with reality. You know, a lot of us, you know, want to be Christians, but yet we want to be very much part of this world. We are called to be Christians and be in this world to change the world, not to be part of the world. So read John Bunyan's book. Let your kids read it. It's a short reading. But it's, you know, when I try to read it once a year, but it rebukes me every time, you know, that book. The words in the book, it comes as a rebuke. Because some of the stuff that I do, I realize that how easy it is to drift away from the road that God has put us in, and we create our own problems. Now, we're going to continue reading from the book of Acts, and today we're going to read from, I would say, verses, let's go to verse 23, and I'm going to share this for those of you who are at home. I'm going to share this on the screen so that you basically follow it up. Excuse me just a second as we do all this, and so that you read it along with me, because the words are important, and I always encourage people to have their own Bibles. I think we, you know, it's one thing that I share a screen, but it's another thing for you to read those words from your own Bible. And I don't know, it, I hope you own a Bible. If you don't, the church will be more than willing to send you one. And let me just focus the words of the word of God here. And we're going to read Peter at Cornelius's house. And remember that Peter was given a vision by God in order for him to go to Cornelius's house. Cornelius being, he was a centurion, a Roman centurion. A God-fearing man, and here Peter, being a Jew, he is being asked by God to go to Cornelius's home and explain the gospel for him, to him. You know, and we're going to read this. The next day, that is after God gave him the vision, the next day Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter had entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. And he said, "Stand up. I am only a man myself." Now, while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God, it is God who has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.' Then Peter began to speak. He said, 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is commanded us to the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their baptism with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Now this completes the word of God for today. And one of the things that fascinates me about these verses that we've read, and by the way, my friends, we need to read scriptures, you know? We need to read scriptures. You know, I know a lot of, you know, I don't want to blame this person or that person, but a lot of churches don't even read scriptures anymore. But scripture has the power, it is the word of God, to change the soul, to change the mind, to change the way we understand things, because it is used by the Holy Spirit. That's why I read big portions of scriptures. They are not my words, they are the word of God. So we need to read scriptures, we need to understand what's happening in the story. And here is a man who was a Jew, who grew up a Jew. He was absolutely proud of his culture, but God is changing things in his heart in order for him to become useful in God's kingdom. See, a lot of the times we are not able to serve because we have a baggage. And sometimes that baggage, we are not even aware of it. We try to justify our baggage. A lot of the times we say, well, you know, I'm going to give it another year. I'm going to give it another 6 months. I'm going to give another 3 months. I'm going to test this. I'm going to test that. My friends, the word of God brings everything to light. And God calls us to make certain decisions. Now, in Peter's life, remember, Peter was, you know, very much against, you know, eating anything that was unclean. God brought a vision to him as he was praying. In that vision, he saw unclean animals being brought down from heaven in a sheet. And God is telling him, take and eat. Now, he struggled with that. He didn't understand what this vision was all about. And he will understand it the next day when he visits Cornelius. God is basically telling Peter, I have the final say. Your culture does not, your religion does not, your background does not. God has the final say. Now, we have to make a decision in life if we want to obey our cultural laws, I don't know, whatever they are. If they contradict scripture, a Christian must never stay within it because it is toxic. It will just drown you. So we need to make decisions within our lives like Peter did, and we need to move away from such toxic environments in order to obey the word of God. And a lot of the people choose not to out of fear losing their culture or their community. This happened to a lot of Messianic Jews. It happened to the early Christians who were just leaving their culture, and they were being shunned by the people. Their own people were shunning them. It still happens it happens today in Amish communities, I believe. It's a very different story there, but if a person just leaves that community, they are shunned by the community. But my friends, this happens in Christian communities today, right and left, especially amongst ethnic communities. If you stand up for what the gospel says, you are going to be shunned somehow, you know? And I've done a study, I've tried to understand why people, such as Peter, what influences them to basically make a transition from the cultural and religious life to what Peter has become, a missional person, a kingdom person. And I've realized that there were four main ingredients that made that person transition from a cultural faith to a missional faith. And the number one element was the Holy Spirit. Without the power, without the work of the Holy Spirit, Christianity and living the Christian life, it's an impossibility. You know, a lot of people say, well, I grew up in the church. And I say, you know, I've parked my car in the garage for all these years, or I've stayed in the garage. It doesn't make me a car, right? Just because you grew up in a church or you grew up within an environment, it doesn't make you a believer. You know, let's just get this into our heads. Peter was not a believer until the Holy Spirit came upon him on the day of Pentecost. He was a follower of Christ, but there he realized what God was doing. And then God's Spirit is very important within somebody's life if they want to make that transition. They cannot do it by themselves, and the Holy Spirit does. The second thing that I've come through this study is the Word of God. Reading the Word of God, but when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot help but see the truth, and the truth will set you free. And God tells you, you have to make decisions within your life. Culture is important, but remember, culture took birth through sin. You know, at the time of Babel, you know, God brought confusion of the languages and all that, and people start, you know, going their way and forming their own cultures. No culture is perfect. The only culture that's perfect is the culture that is within the kingdom of God, where there's no Jew, there's no Arab, or there's no Greek, there's no black, there's no white, there's one race, and it is the race of Jesus Christ, because we get a new image through believing in the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter had to deal with all these things. And then the very first thing that is very interesting, he says, when he goes to Cornelius's house, he says, while talking with him, Peter went inside, and with a large gathering of people there, he said to them, you, and this is very interesting, Peter is saying here, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. Peter was aware of this. Peter was aware, yet he broke that tradition because he realized, he knew that God was doing something new. And he confesses that. He says to the people, you know what I'm doing is not right, because you know that Jews don't associate with Gentiles. And so when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask you why you sent for me? It is there that Peter is realizing why God is using him there. For the first time, Peter is realizing if he doesn't put his prejudices aside, he's not going to be used by God in a way that God wants to use him. Cornelius, obviously, being a Roman centurion, and remember, this story is taking place 30 miles north of Joppa. Joppa was the place where Jonah tried to flee from God. Peter was at staying in Joppa. That's where he received the vision. And he makes his journey 30 miles north, and he goes to Caesarea. Now, Caesarea was the city where the seat of the Roman governor was there. It was a wealthy city. And one of the things, you know, Romans really looked down at Jews because Romans were highly educated. They, especially if you were a centurion in the army, you have 100 people under your command. You are very well aware of the world because you've traveled the world. Now, the last thing you want to be educated about is by a Jew who considers you unclean. But here Cornelius is ready to hear what Peter has to say to him, because God appears to him by an angel, through an angel, and the angel tells him, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers. This man was a God-fearing man. He was a good man. He helped the poor. He was always there for others. But up to this point, by being good, by helping the poor, he never attained salvation. Isn't that interesting? Today, many churches tell us that if we are good enough, if we are sincere enough, if we help the poor, we're going to go to heaven. My friends, that's garbage. I have to tell you, these are all good stuff, but it's garbage compared to what the gospel says. Salvation is found in no one else but in Jesus our Lord. No matter how sincere you could be, no matter how sincere you believe that the glass, that let's say the medication that you're taking is not poisonous for your heart, let's say, if you're taking poison, as sincerely as you believe that it's not poison, it's still going to poison you. Now, as sincere you are that your own theology, that your own good works is going to take you to heaven, you're going to be very, very disappointed in life. Salvation is found in no one else but Christ. And that's why Cornelius wanted to know. He knew that his good works, his prayers will not save him. So that's why Peter, when he arrived at Cornelius' home, he said basically, "Why have I come? Why did you send for me?" And Cornelius basically tells him exactly what happened. 3 days ago, he says, "I was in my house praying at this hour. At 3 p.m, suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembered your gifts to the poor. And sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter.'" He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. "So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Then Peter began to speak, and I love what he says. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism." You know, the Jews grew up thinking, you know, they were the best, you know, they were the best of the best. They were the only ones who God cared for them. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Not just Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. And here Peter realizes that God does not have favorites. God wants to save the Arab and the Jew, the black and the white, the Greek and the non-Greek. He wants to save everybody, but there needs to be repentance. And I now realize how it is, he says, that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation. Now, my friends, a church, by nature, must be international in its mentality. You know, the church is not there for one ethnic group or another ethnic group or this person or that person or this color or that color. The church is called to preach and proclaim the gospel of all nations, to all nations, because that's what God does. God wants every people, every tribe from all nations. Read the book of Revelation. You will see people from the north, south, east, and west, from all corners, from all tribes, coming and worshiping the Lamb of God. Now, I want to reflect that in the Church of the Risen King. I want to be a replica of the kingdom of God here on earth, so that people see throughout the world that the gospel of Jesus is for all nations. Remember what Jesus says? He didn't say go only to Judea. He didn't say go only to Jerusalem. He didn't say go only to Samaria. He didn't say go to New York or go to Great Britain or go to China. Go to all nations. To all nations. And preach the gospel to them. And baptize them. And here this man, for the first time, he is so excited to hear about the word of God, because God has already prepared his heart. He just needs to receive Christ now. And he invites all his relatives. And they're all surrounding Cornelius. And Peter tells them who Jesus was, why he came for, how he died on the cross, how he was resurrected, and how he appeared to humanity. Not everybody could see him. Not everybody saw him. But those who saw him, they were his witnesses. They've become his witnesses. And they go and tell people about Christ. And he says, you know, Peter says, these people who are under the power of the devil... My friends, every person who does not have Christ, they are under the power of the devil. I know it's hard to say. Any person who does not have Christ in their lives are under the power of the devil. And let me tell you, sometimes we get into this mentality that if we do a popcorn night in our church or show a movie at the church and we attract people to the church, that we're going to tell them about Jesus and they're going to be saved. Now, I understand the mentality behind it, and it's all done with good intentions. My friends, if the church comes and prays and pray and pray and pray together and praise God and asks God mercy on all those who are under the power of the devil, that will be much more effective. Because the power that we have in prayer is the greatest weapon that God has given us. And it's the least practiced by the church. We love programs. because it takes us away from our responsibility. God wants us to pray for the lost, and it is our prayers that can empower the Holy Spirit to go and move and work in people's lives. You could create as many popcorn nights as you want, but popcorns and movies are not going to save. Jesus is all sufficient. So we must pray for those who are lost and are under the power of the devil. Now Peter, as he is preaching and as he's telling Cornelius' family about the importance of salvation, at that very point the Holy Spirit comes on them. The Holy Spirit comes upon Cornelius and his family, and they are full of the Holy Spirit. The same thing that happened on Pentecost. You've got a mini Pentecost here in Caesarea. I never thought I was going to say this. You've got a mini Pentecost because they are speaking in tongues. Remember the man and woman in Jerusalem? They were, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they start speaking in tongues. Here you've got a little Pentecost here, but the Holy Spirit is coming upon Gentiles. There it was upon the Jews. Now God is showing the people, I don't show favoritism. My gospel is for everybody. And I'm going to shower the Holy Spirit upon Gentiles who are not Jews. And there Peter realizes what's happening, that God does not show favoritism. And when the Holy Spirit comes, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter does not even finish his preaching, and they start speaking in tongues. Now, some people say, if you're a Christian, you must speak in tongues. I say that's not biblical. If people are telling you these things, tell them they are wrong. The only reason that these people are speaking with tongues, and they're speaking in languages that others understand. So if somebody comes to me and says, you know, they've got the gift of tongue, speaking in tongues, and they start speaking gibberish, that's not from God. The gift of tongue is given so that God speaks through anyone that he chooses in a tongue that another person understands. I've been into prayer meetings, and I'll share this about the gift of tongue. I was at a prayer meeting where somebody, you know, we were a group of maybe 7 or 8 of us, and somebody just starts praying and praising God, and I did not know the person. I thought they were Russian, and they were speaking in Russian, and they were praising God, and I was absolutely fine. And I've been in meetings as a missionary in many parts of the world where people might not know the English language or the local language. They will speak in their own language, and God hears all prayers, because the prayers are not addressed to me. All prayers are addressed to God. I don't pray to impress people. I pray because I want to talk to God. So this person in the group, he was talking and talking and talking, and then at the end he said amen. And there was another person in the group said amen. Because I did not understand what he was saying, I did not conclude by saying amen. And it's okay if you don't amen. What it means, amen, it means yes, I agree with you. May it be done so. But if I don't understand what the person is saying, he might have been cursing at me, so I don't want to say amen. But it's very interesting, another person in the group said amen. Now after the thing, after the meeting, after the prayer meeting, there was a Russian person came and thanked this person. He said, you speak Russian fluently. Where did you learn? And the person says, I don't speak Russian. And for a second, this person thought that this guy was joking. He says, I've never spoken Russian. He says, as far as I'm concerned, I was praying in English. And he says, no, you were praying in Russian. And I don't speak Russian. And I said, you know, you were talking in another language. You know, maybe you were just trying to help a brother. He says, no. And that is the gift of tongue. God gives the gift of the tongue to edify the church. Not just because you are a better Christian than the other. God gives people a lot of gifts. Some are given the gift of tongue to edify the church of Jesus Christ, and some are not given the gift of tongue. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit does not reside in you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Do not go and learn tongues, for goodness sake. You know, a lot of people go to school to learn tongues. That is not biblical. Show me one verse it says in the Bible you have to go to this school or that school to learn tongues. God gives it at the appointed times, and God can take that gift away if it's abused. Do not ever brag of any gift that God has given you or me, because you are given all these gifts for the glory of God. And let me tell you, my friends, if the gift that God has given you, you don't use them for his glory, God will take those gifts away from you and give it to somebody else. Use it. You don't have to do a zillion things. You don't have to become somebody else. But be you. But use all your gifts for the glory of God. And here, one of the most beautiful things that is happening, the entire family comes to faith. You have a Gentile family. You have a powerful member in society by the name of Cornelius, a Roman centurion, and his family are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, they are being baptized in the name of Jesus. So my friends, God shows no partiality. The gospel is universal in nature. Now, I know a lot of preachers preach a gospel that will not apply in any other world. There's a lot of prosperity gospel that's going on, where preacher says, give and God is going to bless you 10 million more times. I'm already blessed. The reason I give to God's word, because God has already blessed me. I don't give. This is not a monopoly where you give and get. But that's the preaching that's going on in many, many communities and churches. Instead of giving out of our hearts, we're just playing this prosperity thing. If I gave, God is going to give me tenfold. And I believed once. I went to an arena in London, United Kingdom, where there was this prosperity gospel. A preacher was there. And he basically convinced, he was so convincing. He said, if you give $10, God is going to bless you tenfold. And I went like, I was 18, 19 years old, and I was thinking, okay, well, if I give $2, I'll receive, 10 times more, that's $20. And I remember I had some pocket money in my pocket, so I put everything in that big bucket that was going around. I believed him. I didn't know much about the Bible back then. I believed that this man was sincere and he knew the God's word, and I gave him my address as well and put all the money that I had in the envelope at the age of 19, and I just put it in that basket. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting after all these years to get 10 times more. My friends, God has blessed me tremendously. And the greatest gift that we can have is the gift of faith. Is the gift of faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That is the greatest treasure that anyone can receive. Cornelius had power. He had a beautiful house. He had beautiful children. He had beautiful family. He had beautiful power. But he realized that he had a great ministry helping the poor. He was God-fearing. But all these things meant nothing if he did not have Jesus. My message to all of you and those who are hearing via Facebook, whatever you are hearing, whatever channel is, do not leave this earth without Jesus in your heart. Because what benefits a man or a woman if he or she gained the entire universe but lost their own souls? Good works, sincerity, all the religiosity, being a good cultural boy or a girl, all these things mean nothing if you do not have the living Jesus in your heart. And we say this without any apology because the Bible commands us to say so. It is God's grace that has brought us this far. It is God's grace that will continue taking us all the way home. So don't leave this earth and don't live this life without Jesus. And when Jesus is in your heart, apply the word, not just say, I believe. Even the demons believe and shatter. But believe, but also apply the word in your life. We're coming to the end of this service. We're going to sing our last song, which is Amazing Grace, written by John Newton. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Because of what Christ has done for me. Also, this is a time that we encourage people to bring their offerings. I thank you all for supporting the Church of the Risen King. Without God's blessing upon this church and your support, we don't function. But we have a big God, and he provides us with all our needs. And he uses people just like you and me to provide the needs of his church in order for us to do ministry in his name. So you could just bring your own offering here for those of you who are here, or just give online. Both are fine. And we're going to sing our last song, which is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And you could stand up for this, or sit down, whatever you want to do, whatever is more comfortable, just do it. He is forever ours, and it's been wonderful to have all of you here or join us virtually today. It is amazing grace, and it is only by His grace that we can approach the throne of grace. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with all of you and your loved ones, now and forevermore. Amen. God be with you, and I look forward to seeing you, I guess, next week, and you're going to see me via your screens. We're not going to have, we're not going to gather together in this physical building, and I think we are going to gather and worship again right after Labor Day. I think that's what it happens, right? The next 2 weeks, and then we have, you'll get an email from me and telling you exactly what's happening. So God bless you, and for those of you who've been online, it's been a blessing to have you. And I'll just give you some time now to basically say hello.